بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد. Respected elders, brothers, mothers and sisters listening at home, it was the habit of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he would take advantage of any opportunity that presented itself to teach those around him with regard to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whenever an opportunity would arise, then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would immediately take up the opportunity and he would use it as a lesson to teach people about what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted from them, likewise to teach them aspects of their deen. So therefore, before we commence with tonight's tafsir, we would have heard, if we paid close attention to the witr salah, that there were a certain, there were a few words whose pronunciation was recited different to normal, or rather, different to what we are accustomed to. And likewise, we would have heard this a few nights back as well. For us to gain some understanding into these modes of recitation, we find that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent to the Arabs. And the Arabs consisted of many tribes and many sub-tribes. And each one of these tribes would, although their home language was Arabic, but they would pronounce and speak the Arabic language differently to one another. And we find this very common in the English language as well. A person from South Africa will pronounce certain words in a certain way, and a person who is perhaps from the UK will pronounce the very same words differently. And sometimes if a person is not accustomed to this, it sounds strange, it sounds peculiar. However, this is down to a difference of pronunciation, a difference of dialect. In fact, when we look even closer, we find that sometimes within one country itself, a person from Durban may pronounce words differently to a person from Johannesburg. A person from Johannesburg will pronounce them differently to a person from Cape Town, and so on and so forth. Therefore, this very same difference would exist amongst these sub-tribes of the Quraysh. Some would pronounce words in a certain way, perhaps with their mouth slightly more open, and others would pronounce the very same word differently. And this, of course, does not in any way alter or change the meaning, but it is just a different way of pronunciation. In order to facilitate the recitation of Qur'an and the ease of memorizing Qur'an, when Jibreel alayhi salam would come and recite verses of Qur'an to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then he would authorize Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam to recite in these various dialects. So one word was revealed, or one verse was revealed, and the very same verse, the very same words, but Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam was authorized to recite it with slightly different pronunciations. And this then facilitated and made easy for these various tribes of Quraysh to learn and to read the Qur'an. And just as we find when it comes to all the other sciences of deen, whether it be the science of hadith or the science of fiqh, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His wisdom selected certain great individuals and chose them to codify and to preach and propagate that particular science. In the field of hadith, we know very famously we have Imam Bukhari rahimahullah, Imam Muslim rahimahullah. Of course, it does not mean that we are following their words, but they merely recorded and wrote down the words of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah selected them and chose them to preserve the words of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Likewise, when it came to these modes of recitation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala selected a few individuals and chose them to codify and then propagate the science of qiraat, of tajweed. And therefore, we would have heard the announcement that tonight's witr salah was recited according to the narration of Imam Kisa'i. Imam Kisa'i, this does not mean that it is some different Quran or something like this. Rather, it is a manner and a method of pronunciation that has reached us from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam via this great Imam, Imam Kisa'i rahimahullah. So just as we have our common way of pronouncing the Quran, many of us perhaps are not aware, but this reaches us through a great person by the name of Imam Hafs rahimahullah. And this is the common mode of recitation and pronunciation that is prevalent in our country and throughout the world. And in certain other countries we find different modes of recitation are likewise the common recitation that is found in that particular land, that particular country. So this, especially in the month of Ramadan, this is the month of Quran. This is a month in which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam would make dur to Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. And this is a month in which the Ummah, from time immemorial, has been making khatam of Qur'an, has been reciting the Qur'an in Taraweeh Salah, individually, nafil ibadat, we make many khatams of the Qur'an as well. So it can revive And to familiarize ourselves with these various sciences, Allah Ta'ala give us the correct understanding and give all of us an all-encompassing understanding of our deen in such a way that we truly appreciate and understand the great favor that Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala has given us in the Qur'an Kareem. Nevertheless, we'll just discuss one particular verse which we read in last night's Taraweeh in Suratul Hujurat. This particular surah, Mufassirin have named it Suratul Akhlaq Wal Adab. That surah which teaches us basic etiquette. And here in this particular verse, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala mentions six social ills, six things that are commonly found in society, in communities, which lead to the destruction and the downfall of a community. The very first issue or ill that Allah speaks about is the issue of taunting or mocking one another. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu la yaskhar qawmun min qawmin. Allah says, O people of Iman, no group should mock any other group. Asa an yakunu khayran minhum. Because perhaps the group that is being mocked at may be better than the group mocking. And then Allah doesn't just leave it to the men, but He addresses the women separately. No group of women should mock any other group of women. There is one incident that is mentioned. Sayyidatuna Aisha radiallahu anha on one occasion passed a remark to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam regarding another wife of his, Safiya radiallahu anha. So she said that, what do you see in her? Or you are happy to have that shorty with you. So she mocked at her stature. Safiya radiallahu anha was short. After she said this, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said to her that, O Aisha, you have uttered such a statement which is so bitter that if it had to be put into the oceans of the world, despite the oceans of the world being so salty, but the bitterness of your statement would overpower the oceans of the world. In other words, that bitterness would overpower the saltiness of the water. Just this one statement, why? Because you said it in a manner that was mocking somebody else. And here particularly, regarding some aspect of her that she did not choose, this was Allah's decision to make her this particular stature. Likewise, we find Allah sometimes gives a person certain characteristics or qualities, sometimes his physical appearance, which is not due to his own choosing, perhaps his height, perhaps his complexion, perhaps his race, perhaps the family he comes from or she comes from. So for us to mock at this is in actual fact mocking at the decision of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Then secondly, Allah mentions, وَلَا تَلْمِزُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Do not find fault in one another. Don't go searching for the faults of one another. Here, leave searching for the faults of one another. We find the Salafus Salihin, they would conceal the faults of others. They understood the words of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. If a person will conceal someone's defect, someone's fault, then on the day of Qiyamah, Allah will conceal his faults. There is an incident mentioned about a person by the name of Hatim al-Asam. His name was Hatim, but he was given the nickname al-Asam, which means the deaf one. And why was he given this nickname? He was a great alim, great scholar of deen. On one occasion, an elderly woman came to him to ask him some question about deen. And while she was seated there, she, perhaps due to her old age, as she adjusted her position, she passed wind. And Hatim al-Asam heard this. But to save her from embarrassment, he pretended as though he didn't hear. And he just continued to look straight. So again she posed the question, again he kept quiet. Again, she raised her voice, and then he put his hand to his ear, and feigning and acting as though he was hard of hearing, he then finally acted as though now he heard her question, and then he answered her. Not only did he pretend to be deaf or hard of hearing at that occasion, but it is mentioned right up until this woman passed away, in that community he would continue to pretend to be hard of hearing. Why? So that she does not suffer this embarrassment, that she passed wind in front of him. So here Allah says, do not find fault with one another. وَلَا تَنَابَزُوا بِالْأَلْقَابِ. Don't call one another by offensive nicknames. Sometimes a person earns a nickname from his school days. He was notorious or infamous for something. So we should try our best not to remember a person or mention a person by these type of names. And then Allah mentions, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اجْتَنِبُوا كَثِيرًا مِّنَ الظَّنِّ. The fourth quality is that avoid having evil thoughts of one another, suspicious thoughts of one another. Person does something, says something, or we heard of some incident, and automatically we start building castles in our mind, that he said it because of this, or she did this because she's trying to prove this point, or she's trying to make this remark. We don't know the intention in any person's heart. Why did he say it? Why did she do it? So therefore, avoid having evil thoughts. Ulama say, We will not be questioned if we had good thoughts of the next person. He did it for a good reason. She did it for a good reason. But if we had evil thoughts, Allah will take us to task for this. وَلَا تَجَسَّسُ The fifth is that do not spy on one another, something which is private, then we should not pry into the private life of others. And finally, وَلَا يَغْتَبْ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا Do not backbite and make ghibat about one another. Do not mention some evil about somebody else. In fact, in one hadith, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Sahabi asked, O Nabi of Allah, what if I mention something about someone in his absence, which is true, it is a reality, he has this quality, or he did do such an action. Is this okay? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, that see, if you mention something that is untrue, then that is slander. And if you mention something that is true and is found in him, this is still ghibat and backbiting. And then he mentions the how do we define what is backbiting? ذِكْرُكَ أَخَاكَ بِمَا يَكْرَهُ Where a person mentions any characteristic or action or statement of someone in such a way that he will not like you to have mentioned that, whether it is true or not. And then Allah likens this to consuming the flesh of a dead person. And ulama have explained that why is ghibat likened to consuming the flesh of a dead person? If there is a corpse, who is a body that is dead, and I have to go and eat from that corpse, then it will not harm the corpse in any way, but it will cause harm to me. I will get sick and ill. In the same way, when we backbite about others, it does not harm that person, but spiritually, as far as iman is concerned, it will harm the person who does it. Allah give us tawfiq and understanding. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil